Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
I'm Kim Grinnells of Dogman.com with Chris Fetters, Scott Eklund, and Friday's practice is in the books. Absolutely far and away the best, nicest day that we've had out here. Shorts weather, temperature over the weekend up in Seattle for those coming into town, supposed to approach 80 degrees. But, you know, last week we were freezing our butts off with wearing wool base layers and hand warmers and everything. No need for that today. Again, practicing inside the stadium, not on the East Field. And Chris, you kind of mentioned that it looked like they were saving a lot. This practice, they were saving a lot for tomorrow. It wasn't exactly a walkthrough, but it was a little bit different than the practices we've seen so far.
Well, everything was basically condensed. So it was essentially the same type of work they would have gotten in a full 2-hour practice, but they did it in about 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So they still had a team period at the end, which was shortened. They pretty much only gave one rep each or one series each to Dylan Morris, Patrick O'Brien, Sam Heward. And then they just had the place kickers kick a couple kicks, and that was basically it. So felt like they were kind of saving their powder for tomorrow. Shorts practice, so they weren't in full pads. Obviously trying to do everything they can to just kind of make them, you know, give them some work, make them go through some things, but at the same time, understand that the real work is being done for the scrimmage for tomorrow.
Big storyline of the day, a couple of injuries. Will Plisco went down, the off walk-on offensive lineman. He was down for a while and had to be helped off the field, but the one that may be a little concerning, I don't think it's as serious as Will Pliska's injury, but ZTF. Zion had to be helped off the field, and he wasn't putting any weight on that leg. Didn't look as serious as Pliska. It may have just been a rolled ankle.
Yeah.
He was carted off the field.
He was definitely feeling it.
Yeah.
He was definitely feeling it.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the big storyline. And to me, it looked like he rolled his ankle.
Yeah, I didn't see it happen. I heard someone else had said that it was a non-contact drill. I didn't see it, so maybe that's true, but he was kind of in a scrum of guys, so it was hard to tell. I have a hard time believing it was non-contact, but I don't think it was like a torn knee or anything like that. I don't think we're talking about anything serious. It might be a pretty nasty sprain or something like that, and he might miss the rest of spring ball, but luckily for him, he's still got 4.5-5 months until football, or I guess it'd be four and a half months until the season starts. So
yeah.
You know, he's got a week after that if they want to hold him out of the Montana game.
Typically on these injuries for spring, even if he could come back next week and play, they would typically just hold him out.
Do mental reps and that's
as a precaution.
Yeah.
I mean, there were a number of guys that were limited today anyways, guys like Alex Cook. Mason West again was on the sidelines. Jack Westover, Vic Kern. Vic Kern was on the sidelines.
Gard
Memelar was on the sidelines. So there were a number of guys that you know, yeah. as spring goes, the number of guys on the sidelines start to pile up a little bit. But with Zion, I was on the opposite side of the field. I was focused more on the side that is closest to the tunnels. So all I did was see Zion getting carted off, and then as he's being helped into the tunnel, you know, he's not putting any weight on his left leg. The one with Will Pliska, I saw for sure. And that was just an interior run where, and again, to set the scene for these, for the fans, this is a what they call a wrap tempo type practice where they wrap people up and let them go. But the point is you keep everybody upright. You keep all your teammates upright, offense, defense, doesn't matter. And on these interior runs, that can get a little tricky. And so basically after one of these runs, it just ended up being a huge mess in the middle, as it normally is anyways. And so as they're picking guys up, Pliska's on the deck. And typically, even if he's feeling something a little bit, you'd wait a couple seconds, wait for everyone to clear, and then you'd get up and go about your business. But he didn't move at all. I mean, like literally his entire body didn't move for a while. And so the trainers come rushing in. They finally kind of get him turned over a little bit. Another minute passes. They kind of get him kind of propped up a little bit. And then they literally took two trainers to basically bring him over. And it was his right leg. And I have no idea, knee, ankle, don't know. Mm-hmm. But he was not putting any weight on it.
Yeah, and ZTF was his left leg. And he popped up relatively quickly with someone, you know, someone grabbed his hand and he popped up. But then he needed to be helped off. And then he pushed them all away and just hopped over himself. That's why it looks like he's maybe not as hurt as bad as Will Pliska was.
And just a reminder, it's football, mm-hmm. not golf. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the deal. And guys are going to get dinged up. Guys are going to get hurt. Guys are going to get injured. Mm-hmm. You know, and did he get dinged? Did he get hurt? Or did he get injured? We'll find out, you know, tomorrow.
Brunell blew out his knee in spring football. So yeah. It happens.
It's part of the game. That's why they have over 100 players out there. So I thought with the quarterbacks today, I think you're starting to see a gap between the first three guys. I think, you know, right now, I think Dylan Morris is solidly the number one. I think that Patrick O'Brien is solidly the number two, you know, and Sam Huard is solidly number three. Dylan definitely looks like the guy, and Sam had a tough practice today. And, you know, I know that people just, you know, well, they'll grab onto that and, you know, have a little bit of panic in their voice. But, you know, it's part of the growing process. And if Sam is doing everything right, he tends not to learn as much. But with the mistakes that he made today and the practice he had today, I think he's going to learn more from this practice than he has in anything else he's done.
You made a good observation, Kim, on his interception by Cameron Fabi-Kulanen. And he was going to throw short to a tight end. Kulanen was 10 yards behind him. Started running before Sam even threw the ball. Sam, and you said Sam probably got about halfway through his motion and said, I shouldn't throw it here. But it was already and he just picked it and would have had a pick six if that's what it was. But
if he would have had Russell Wilson hands, he may have been able to pull that back. Yeah. But it just looked like right when he was starting to throw it, he's going, oh, crap. And his arm kept going forward.
And, I mean, I think everybody – it's kind of like that feeling when you know you've locked your keys in your car as you're shutting the door.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Everything goes very slow.
You're just like, and you're like, no. And it was probably kind of that
situation. And I was focused on the twos, so I was watching on the other side of the field. And so I hear the horn. I see Fabi-Kulanen with the ball, and then he pulls the Jake Locker and throws it about 30 feet in the air. And I'm thinking, yeah, that – probably won't go over very well.
Maybe he doesn't do that in the game, but probably shouldn't do it in practice either.
Probably should, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, if this was the practice that Sam had, if it was a second-year starter having a practice like Sam did, there might be a little bit room for concern. But I look at a practice like this for a pure freshman, and I just kind of chuckle. And, I mean, if you're Sam was going against the one defense quite a bit. You think the ones defensive secondary, those one defensive backs kind of, you know, hey, we got the freshman, blood in the water.
Maybe a little bit, you know, but I mean, they've had success against Dylan too. So it doesn't really, I think it's just, you know, part of the growing pains for Sam. I think it's good for him to get these out now. You know, everybody gets concerned about interceptions. I'm like, it's practice, guys. He's making throws he might not make in a game. He's making throw. He's trying to see his timing with the receivers. He's trying to see what can these defensive backs at this level do that maybe they couldn't do it in high school. So, you know, all that kind of stuff.
The one thing I've seen from Dylan Morris, too, that I've really liked, that I've been impressed with, I mean, number one, he looks like he's comfortable out there. He looks like he's in command. But he's showing some elusiveness the last couple of practices I've been at. I've been impressed with that.
Well, he's had to. Because because Bob Gregory and the defensive coaches have basically been throwing the kitchen sink at the offense. And so I know a lot of people, a lot of the fans that have been to practice have been wondering about the pass rush. And there's no doubt that there's, but that's just one part of it. I mean, that's a big part of what's going on. And the reason why Dylan Morris has had to show some escapability is because they're throwing not just the four guys up front, but they're throwing a number of different guys, whether it's linebackers, defensive backs. They're coming at him from every which way. So they're having to, you know, he's having to show a little bit of versatility, and we already know based on what he did last year, Kim, he's fairly quick in the decision making part of these things. And so when they're throwing different things at him, not just scheme wise, but also up front, he's had to react a little bit. And so far so good. But again, in the team drills, the only guy that's really moving the ball at all, and the only one that has maybe consistently the entire spring, has been Patrick O'Brien.
You were down at that end and you watched him more, but I mean, he's showing flashes and he's definitely having some moments. I mean, he's a good quarterback.
Well, he's had some moments, but I think if you want to go back to the discussion about Sam Heward, think about the reason why they brought in Patrick O'Brien. Think of what would happen if Sam Heward was considered the backup right now and there was no number two. There was no competition. It was Dylan Morris and him, and then a bunch of walk-ons. So the fact that Patrick O'Brien here, it might be one of the real unsung stories of this spring right now, because he really offers a very solid buffer to allow Heward to make some mistakes, to grow into the position, to learn the way in the manner that he's supposed to learn. Because if he came in as a true freshman, I don't care if he's got 10 stars behind his name, if he's coming in as a true freshman and he knows he's going to be the man in one snap if Dylan Morris gets hurt, that adds a whole level of pressure that we're not even talking about right now. And so I think the fact that Patrick O'Brien has not only come here and offered that protection, but has also had a really nice spring and could conceivably just pop right in there if Dylan Morris does get banged up, I think the Washington coaches have to be thrilled by what they're seeing from him so far.
Scott, when you take a look at the defense, there's a new defensive coordinator, and of course he, you know, comes as somebody who's been on the staff before. Are you noticing any difference with this defense from what you've seen since Coach Pete was here?
I mean, and Bob Gregory even said it, that, you know, I'm going to add a few things. He goes, just like every year, we add new twists and stuff to things we're going to do. But yeah, he said a lot of this is going to be the same as what we ran under Pete Kwiatkowski. He might just call things a little bit differently. That's really where the difference comes, I think, is maybe Pete Kwiatkowski is more aggressive in this situation on 3rd and 7, as opposed to maybe Bob Gregory wants to sit back a little bit, or the vice versa. You know, maybe Bob Gregory is a little more aggressive with his blitzing, or, you know, who he sends or things like that. Maybe he calls things a little bit differently, but the defense essentially is the same. They're doing pretty much the same thing.
You know,
that's one of the reasons, I'm sorry, that's one of the reasons to keep him, to keep this staff the way it was so that they're not learning a new defense. They're sticking with the ones that they have.
We had a chance to talk to Rip Rowan after practice today. Some interesting stuff from him, you know, when he talked about how difficult it is to get a job as a, you know, position coach in college football. It's hard. And like he said, you know, everybody was talking to him on his previous jobs. Yeah, we want to add you to staff, want to add you to staff, but it never happens. And then it finally happens, and it really had an impact on
him. I loved it when he said that he's driving out here to take the quality control job out here. And he gets to Colorado, and he's like, holy crap, what is this? Because he's been used to flat where he's from. And he gets in the mountains, and he goes, I'm driving 30 miles an hour on the freeway because I just want to look around and see what's going on. So, everything that I have heard is he's an up-and-coming coach. He's a high-energy guy. He knows what he's talking about. The players all love him. They were all really excited on Twitter when he got hired as the new D-line coach. And it was nice to actually get to talk to him for once. Chris got a good picture of him, and you have a picture of him from practice, Kim. And so people get to see what he looks like and how he's coaching and everything. And I, you know, the defensive line seems much more, I don't know what's the word, much more active this spring than we've seen them in a little while.
Engaged,
maybe. Maybe they were, and maybe I don't think that was anything to do with Keiko Malloy. I think all the players liked him too. This is just a different coaching style.
I wonder if the lack of senior total, like the hierarchy.
There's
like
no last Levi year on was Muzurike.
Last year would have been Levi. Before that, it would have been a Revita or a Gaines or and so yeah. So I'm wondering if there.
The vacuum.
Is this a more egalitarian defensive line? Like, is everything a little bit more equal? Are everybody on? Because you don't look at Thule and Taki and all of a sudden see a bunch of commanding personalities.
Well, you got Ryan.
You see Ryan really
Bowman's,
good.
Ryan
Bowman's an outside linebacker.
Sometimes.
Well,
they're him inside.
I understand that, Kim. But what I'm saying is, when you look at
in
that defensive line room, he's not in it.
Yeah.
Well, you look at Taki and Thule, they are good football players, and they have a chance to be great football players. But you don't really see them gushing. You know, they're just not super outward personality types. And I don't think you necessarily would expect that.
Tuatelli is an out.
Tuatelli starting to – Bandis is starting to find his form.
Bandis.
I thought Bandis was the guy that stood out today. I'm really excited to see what he might do tomorrow. Because I don't know if that's are we in the process of seeing the light come on for him, Tuatelle to me is still kind of treading water a little bit. He's had some moments, but the billing still means there's something. There's a lot more left on the bone for him that he needs to get after.
When you take a look at this defense, I think the obvious strength is in the secondary. It's getting a little ridiculous how much talent's back there. And you have to worry, with the transfer portal and one-time transfer, immediate eligibility, because, I mean, how many guys are going to be willing to stick it out like Kyler Gordon? He probably could have started at most Pac-12 schools last year.
Well, we talked about it when Byron Murphy was here. He and Will Harris mentioned it today that he redshirts, then he starts for a year and a half and gets drafted, right?
Yeah.
Well, we talked about it then that Byron Murphy probably would have started on, what is there, 120 Division I teams. And he probably would have started on at 110 of them, and Washington just happened to be in a situation where they had a future Husky Hall of Fame guys at the very minimum, Buda Baker, Sidney Jones, and Kevin King in front of him. How's he going to play? So they redshirt him, and he ends up playing the next year and all that. But yeah, it's deep. And Will Harris said, I have the toughest job in the fact that I got to find the right four or five guys to throw out there and still keep these other guys engaged, involved, and happy because of the way that we're doing things. And I've been talking about it on the recruiting board. Everybody thinks Washington needs to go out and get a safety. They might not end up taking a safety in the 2022 class.
Yeah.
Because they're that room is so deep. When you talk about, okay, let's just go down it right now. Asa Turner, Cam Williams, Dominic Hampton, you got Jacoby Covington, Mikel Esteen, you've got
Bookie
Radley is doing
there.
Some reps back
there. Cam Fabiculanin's done some reps. He's done some reps everywhere.
Julius Irvin
is a guy done some reps everywhere.
Who I think could be the X factor in that.
Well, Kim, you mentioned the portal to start with.
Yeah.
When Will Harris was asked about Bookie Radley Hiles, he talked about the relationship that he had formed with him in the recruiting process initially. Before he went to Oklahoma, how because of the SoCal connection, because he's from there, Bookie's from there. He made it sound like it was almost a family thing, like their families knew each other, or there was another connection there, and that he kept in touch with him. That's one of those things where if guys leave, the reputation that the defensive backs room has established, starting with Jimmy Lake and now through Will Harris and Terrence Brown, they have created almost an assembly line of being able to say, look, we can take you as raw talent and we can turn you into an NFL player. They're going to get two guys drafted this year in Elijah Molden and Keith Taylor. Who knows who might want to leave early. If Trent McDuffie wants to leave after the 2021 season, if they play a full season, he's going to get drafted and he's going to get drafted high.
The only thing that'll hold him back is his height.
Yeah, and if Kyler Gordon has the season we would all expect, he could jump too. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of guys out. Bookie Radley Hiles is a guy that's probably going to go pro.
He's
after
a one
this
and
year.
Done. Yeah.
There's the thing is perpetuating. It's self perpetuating, and so for anybody that might be worried that guys would jump into the portal that are DBs, all you have to do is look at Radley Hiles to know that there's a blueprint that not only do the Washington coaches look at for guys that they want, but the guys that are looking, that are in the portal, that are looking at schools, what schools are they going to look at in terms of guys that, programs that put players in the NFL? Washington's right at the top of the list.
It's kind of funny. I haven't noticed Trent McDuffie at all. They're just not throwing over there.
I wouldn't. I wouldn't throw over there. Heck, Kyler Gordon made a heck of a play today in I think it was 7-on-7 work. And Dylan Morris threw a perfect pass. I mean, he threw it high and outside to Jalen McMillan, who was going to bring it in. And Kyler Gordon jumps up with his outstanding explosiveness and athleticism and knocks it away. And, I mean, that would have been an easy first down gain and possibly even more because he probably would have broken away from him and gone up the sidelines. So, yeah, I mean, Kyler Gordon, I think, is on it right now. We'll see because the first time he got a chance to start was 2019, and he looked a little like it was – you know, the freight train coming at you instead of the light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing, right? But then last year he plays a lot in the as a sub and plays a lot, and I think he gained a lot of confidence. He had the forced fumble against Utah on the edge late in the game, so he was playing some true corner out there, and really I think this is his chance to prove that he's the guy that we all thought he could be. And
then in addition, I'm just not seeing a lot of passes being completed out wide because it just seems like everybody there is covered, mm-hmm. and we're seeing a lot more dump downs and we're seeing a lot more over the middle because that's all that's available.
Yeah.
Well, and the other thing you can do too is that if people are looking out wide and wondering who is behind Kyler Gordon and Trent McDuffie, They've paired up the freshmen quite a bit, Elijah Jackson and James Smith. But I'm here to tell you, when the ones came out for the team period today, one of the corners was Michelle Powell. And Michelle Powell,
he looks
walk on from O'Day. Will Harris, we asked him today about him, and he's another guy. He's talked about the light coming on for him. Michelle Powell and Kaysen Kinchin are two walk-on corners that are right in line for scholarships. Don't be surprised if they end up with scholarships. It may not necessarily be after this spring, for instance. Maybe it's before fall ball. It might happen. But Michelle Powell is a guy that I don't think anyone's talking about, and he looks the part.
And the guy that I think is, you know, he's going to be next, and one of the next great ones. Boy, Elijah Jackson just looks really impressive out there.
He does. He and James Smith both have that body, you know, 6'1", 6'2". 195, 200 pounds, big guys. You remember when Keith Taylor got here to the University of Washington? He was kind of the exception to the rule. He was that big guy, long arms, was over. He was like 6'2", 6'3". Kevin King was also in that mold too, but he was so much skinnier. But these guys are bigger than Keith Taylor when he showed up. And I think these guys could be a very physically imposing set of corners in the near future when they end up taking over, if that's what happens. And a lot of it's just going to be about technique with those guys. I mean, those guys, if they can turn and run with guys, and Washington doesn't play a ton of man-to-man. They play more of a zone. But if they're gonna be able to run with guys, I think Washington's in really good shape with those guys.
Yeah, no, I just think that overall – the defensive backs, you started this whole thing, Kim, by talking about how deep they are and how talented they are. And Will Harris has talked about just how versatile a lot of those guys have become. I mean, they have – when you talk about guys this spring who have played a little bit at corner, safety, nickel, you're looking at Julius Irvin. You're looking at Cam Fabiculainen. You're looking at Julius Irvin. You know, Jacoby Covington is one of those guys that can do that. There are a lot of guys. Dominique Hampton is probably the prime example. There's just a ton of versatility out there. And I asked him a little bit about how involved they were on the defensive side, because we've heard from Jimmy in terms of running these back-to-back 11-on-11 drills where they're getting twice as many reps. And he said it was something that they figured out in the OTAs this last year. Mm-hmm. Just trying to be able to get a way to get a lot of reps in because they were doing it with distance. So they had to separate, but yet they still had to figure out a way, okay, how much we need to get guys tape, we need to get guys on film. And it's worked for the defense as much as it has the offense. And what it has allowed them to do is it has allowed that defensive back group to play anywhere at any time for any reason. And I think it's pretty stunning because I've seen, you know, like I saw the day before on Wednesday, I saw Jacoby Covington in the team drill where they went live near the goal line and he was stuffing guys on the edge. And so I thought, you know, they're just so impressive in terms of that group and what they're capable of doing and the versatility. And it all starts with having the high IQ. And I think that's the one thing that they've really trained in these guys, especially during the 2020 season.
One of the guys that we haven't mentioned much in the spring, but one of the guys who had the best practice today was Sean McGrew. You know, we've seen a lot of Richard Newton coming back from this couple of false positive tests, you know, and Cam Davis and, you know, the two young guys, Caleb Berry and Jadavian Sunday. But I thought Sean McGrew, you know, really did some nice things today.
Yeah, he looked like he had a little bit more of a jump in his step a little bit, had a kick return where he just exploded.
Yeah, he looked faster today.
Yeah, it looked a lot faster to me. Too. Don't know if maybe he's lost a little bit of weight and gained some of his speed back that he had originally, but he looks explosive too. That running back room is going to be real interesting to watch the way things go the rest of spring, then into fall ball, and then how maybe the first, you know, the out of conference schedule when they can get them reps against Montana and against Utah State. What's it going to look like? Who's going to get the reps? Who's going to get, you know, all those things? And
because Cam Davis needs reps.
Cam Davis totally needs reps.
And then if you get, you know, yeah, just and yeah. The, and the other guy, why am I spacing? The running back, Sam Adams.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So there's a lot. There's a lot of guys in there. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of people were surprised that Pleasant and McGrew decided to come back, and I think that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, no. What's interesting is you started this off with the kick return for McGrew. I'm wondering what that battle is going to be like now with Giles Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, in the frame. Yeah. I'm wondering, you know, because a lot of times they've talked about that position, like, well, the kick returners, we don't necessarily, you know, want certain starters because that might put them in danger or harm's way. But yet they've always used McGrew the last 3 years. They've used him that way. But I'm wondering now with Giles Jackson, he's almost become, when you look at what they did at Michigan with him, that was almost like a specialist type position for him.
Giles Jackson, and I made the comment after he had committed and I did the impact report, and that I thought while he could be an interesting piece on the offense, I thought he was a borderline elite kick returner.
Yep.
And that is lost yardage. When you've got a guy who isn't confident in taking a kick back, right, and he decides to down it inside the 20, so now you're at the 25, but that's lost yardage. If you could have got to the 35 with a guy, if you could get, you know, an extra 20 yards out of that thing or an extra 10, 15 yards out of that, that's yardage that you can't even make up sometimes. And you want teams to be fearful of kicking it to him so that sometimes you'll get those easy kick it out of bounds accidentally kicks as they're trying to pin him in a corner, and then they get it at the 45 instead of the, you know,
35.
The 35 or the 40 instead. So yeah, I just, a guy like Giles Jackson, John Ross did it when he was the kick returner. Dante Pettis did it when he was the punt returner.
And Ross was arguably the most elite guy that they've had since. They really have not had an elite returner that way. Pettis, obviously, with
since
the punt returners.
Since probably Bean O'Brien, maybe.
But it's been a long time.
But what I'm saying is you want teams to have that fear, to strike that fear in them so that they're like, we do not want to kick it to this guy. Giles Jackson puts you in that realm with the kick returns.
Live scrimmage tomorrow. And they're going to – it's open up to the fans. You can go to GoHuskies.com and sign up for tickets. You definitely need to do that. You cannot just show up.
I have it linked in the story that I wrote today too, by the way.
You can't just show up. I think that's the most important thing. Don't just show up without signing up. And Jimmy said you're going to have a lot of live going on, so I think that's when we're going to get a good idea of the running backs tomorrow. Scott.
Yeah, the running game will be on display. The offensive line and defensive line will really be able to get after it a little bit. You'll see a little bit more. Quarterbacks won't be live, but I think everybody else will. When we say live, that means they're going to take him to the ground, right?
I think Jeff Lindquist. Yeah. I think Jeff Lindquist is live tomorrow.
Everybody is live except for the quarterbacks. Obviously, yeah. They will never run the quarterbacks live. But in terms of when they call a running play, they're taking them down.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be full pads, and this is the day that the entire defense has been waiting for, JV on Sunday. Mm-hmm. They're gonna have their revenge, and it should get fun. And he will have his moments too. Don't get me wrong. He knows how to play behind his pads.
Final thoughts, Scott Eklund?
Good day. Good. And I kind of liked the short practice because I'm not out there and standing out in the sun for 3 hours or 2 hours or whatever it is. So, but yeah, tomorrow's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to just sitting up in the stands, watching, enjoying things with the rest of the fans. My guess is I'm betting there's well over 1,000 people there tomorrow.
Fun thoughts, Chris Fetters.
Yeah. I mean, if there aren't, something's seriously wrong.
Well, but it's an 80 degree day in April in the Pacific Northwest. How many people are like, I think I'm going golfing, or I think we're going to go for a hike over in the Olympics.
Yeah, you know? I get it. I totally get it. But by the same token, if they can't draw 1,000 fans for what they're about to see, we have never, let's put it this way. You guys, we've been covering this team since the late 90s. How many times have we seen a full scrimmage open to the public in spring? I can count them on one hand. I can count them on one finger. Yeah. And that one finger is going to start tomorrow. It never has happened that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. I can't even think of a time when they've had an open spring other than spring game for the public to start with.
They've had it for season ticket holders.
I'm talking about open to the public, okay. Full scrimmage, the whole bit. This is something unlike we've ever seen before. This is a very unique opportunity. And with the weather's clearly the bonus.
Yeah.
But if you know, this is the one time where we can tell the fans, guys, don't take our word for it. You literally can watch these guys and see for yourselves if we're full of crap or we're not.
And if you are posting your thoughts on our message boards, which you're welcome to do, don't talk about don't talk about formations. That's the biggest.
Yeah, the biggest thing you can't really do is don't talk about plays. Don't talk about specific plays. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, I just saw a triple reverse with a blah, blah, blah. No, guys, we need, there has to be some common sense that goes into this thing.
You can just say, Dylan Morris threw a nice long pass to Romo Dunsey.
Right, but the fact that they're using more defensive linemen, for instance, in their base defense is not really new information by this point. It's not really something they can keep secret because everybody and their mother just saw it from the stands. So with personnel, that's one thing. But plays, specific plays, I fully expect this to be super, super vanilla. I don't think they're going to put themselves in a position to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak. But today, again, was just simply prelude. It was just a way for them to kind of get a practice in and try to keep those guys fresh, which, again, ironically, is when these injuries take place. And it's unfortunate, and it's something that Jimmy Lake talked about in terms of having that fine line between playing the game and being able to do it well, but yet having to also protect these guys and do it the right way.
Yeah, looking forward to tomorrow. It's going to be a nice day. Be shorts weather for sure. Chris, you can ditch your hoodie tomorrow.
Not really. Not if the sun comes out, man.
Put a hat on, dude.
I don't want to slather myself in sunscreen, man. No thanks. Right. Yeah, not if I can put my hoodie on. I'm good, man.
It's been a busy week, and we expect it. I don't expect things to slow down for a while. You know, we've got some basketball stuff that's going to be coming up here shortly, expecting some more announcements on some guys transferring in on the basketball team, and then we've got football practice. And it sounds like after June, it's going to get busy on recruiting. So
June 1st.
You know, we're used to it slowing down typically, you know, towards the end of May, but it looks like that's not going to happen. It looks like it's going
to
be busy.
Also, something really quick, Kim, just to let people know, and I know Scott's on this too, is that because once the scrimmage is done on Saturday – we're halfway through camp already. Yeah. I mean, it's halfway done. So we'll have some stuff that kind of expresses our thoughts on halfway, maybe a depth chart, maybe some position by position guys that we feel have made improvements, guys that we feel have stepped back or have not shown what we expected, et cetera.
It's just pretty crazy. We've been doing this since 1997, and sometimes I look back and I tend not to look back. I'm always looking forward. But, you know, what we were doing 20 years ago as opposed to what we're doing now, you know, I was talking to somebody about, you know, back in the day, we used to break news at 10:30, 10:45 because the newspapers would already be gone to press. So if we had a commitment, we'd run it at like 10:45 at night. Now we're waiting on artwork for commitments to complete their artwork before we run with stories.
It's all about the edit, baby.
Or videos.
It's all about the edit.
Videos.
It's kind of funny because we know a lot what's going on, but, you know, just for various reasons. If you ever notice that a minute there's news and we have a story up within 30 seconds.
Yeah. We've known about it for a while.
So, anyways.
It just, you know, it's the age we live in, Kim.
Yeah.
And I mean, I knew about Jeremiah Martin easily 2 weeks before he committed. We knew about Bookie Radley Hiles. How long did I have that sitting in the – and Giles Jackson, we had those sitting in the database for over a week.
Viking Jones we sat on for over a week.
Yeah.
Dave Rice we've been sitting on for a year.
Yeah,
no, it's been pretty crazy. So just a reminder, if you're looking for those daily updates and breaking news alerts, just shoot us a note. HuskyStadium@gmail.com, subject line newsletter. We will hook you up and looking forward to tomorrow. So for all of us at Dogman.com, I'm Kim Reynolds along with Chris Fetters, Scott Eklund. Go Dogs.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.